Did you hear Tom Brady at all yesterday?
So I didn't. That was one of the unfortunate circumstances of being at the game is you just didn't really have they had the feeds and everything, but you know, you were paying attention to the game and listening to the radio feed.
It was not good.
Yeah, people say it was terrible.
I'm trying to be nice about it. It was really not good. He got a little bit more comfortable as time went on, and it was still not good. He sounded like a guy who didn't have all the information, and I think that part of the reason. Let's play some of this Tom Brady here. I want you guys to hear.
Remember, Miles had the big strip sack.
Yeah. Let's see whether or not I was thinking this while I was watching the game. I want to see whether or not I'm right. Let's hear you guys have it. This is from Fox.
Ball is out. And it is recovered by Dallas.
It's a big man he's going against in Tyler Guyton, but just too much power. He's got a great burst off the line of scrimmage. Just rips through, and that's why he's reigning Defensive Player of the Year. And fortunate for Dallas to just be a loss of four. Still another sack.
Well, that was one of the snippets of just he looked a little unsure of what he wanted to say, or sounded a little unsure of what he wanted to say, seemed a little bit uncomfortable. I think a lot of people thought, well, he's just going to spout off about football, because there was the whole conversation about him being a part of ownership with the Las Vegas Raiders, and that it would take away because he's not allowed in any of these production meetings. So he's not allowed to do that. Well, this is the first game of the season, so you can watch as much tape as you want to from last year, except Mike Zimmer is a new defensive coordinator. And so you have different pieces. You could go, well, I know a Mike Zimmer defense. Yes, and in week four, if it looks like a typical Mike Zimmer defense, you can say that. But in week one, you don't know what he's necessarily going to have with his new players. The same thing with Kevin Stefanski and Ken Dorsey and the Cleveland Browns. Plus, it's been 10 months since the quarterback played. So there's so many things that you can try to say, and he could say it, except I think he feels a responsibility to say the right things and to know the right things. And I think that he was a little bit in his head of, can I say? What can I say? What's not going to make me look like an idiot?
I mean, I can hear. He's overthinking there, and just in the rules, and we're not on network TV in front of, you know, how many millions were watching that game yesterday. But I could tell you, and Kenny, you've been in the same situation. We've been paired up with a bunch of guys over the years that have played the game of football or any of the sports. And it's like, hey, we've had bosses over time. Hey, why don't you, can you do this? Can you do a 15-minute this? Or can you, somebody's going to be in studio and they're looking at maybe a media career down the road. And I always will just tell these guys.
Rodney McLeod's with us tomorrow at 9 Rodney McLeod, in studio
An hour. I always tell them, forget about cameras or forget about anybody listening. It's just me and you. We're talking football. Like, that's what we're doing in the purest sense. Talk to me like we were in the locker room right after a game or whatever. Just talk to me. Talk to me about what you're seeing or what you did see. And what happens is that what you just heard is the antithesis of that. He is thinking about 1,000 other things. He's not just talking football. What Tony Romo did when he came in, people remember that he was picking all the plays, whatever, and a lot of that's worn off. But Tony Romo was not talking to America. He was just talking to Jim Nance. Hey, here's what I saw there. Well, Tom Brady's got to get out of his head and forget about trying to have this identity of a broadcaster and just talk to like you would a teammate, because that's what they paid him to do. That's what they want him to do.
Do you think he was underprepared?
No, not underprepared at all.
I think he thought he was underprepared.
I think he was probably overprepared.
I think Tom Brady, from every sense that I get, like Gerard knows him very well, and there's a couple people who, this is a weird thing to say. So with the Infinity Network that used to be CBS Sports Radio, there were a couple of people who've reached out from different places who know him. And doing the fact-checking, it's all true. And he seems like a very down-to-earth, like everything you know about Peyton Manning and everything you know about Tom Brady, they always say it's the reverse. Like, we've had Bob Myers on the show who's done the book of both of these guys, and he goes, Peyton Manning is, he comes off like he's everybody's next-door neighbor, but it's so hard to get a hold of him. He is behind like 8 different things, and you would think Tom Brady would be that guy. And maybe he's become a little bit more like that since, you know, the divorce and everything. But everybody's like, no, he's as down to earth as it gets. He's really, he's the guy who's the next door neighbor. And I think that he wants to make sure he's prepared so he doesn't say anything stupid that he has to come back from and explain himself out of. I think that he takes it very seriously. And I think he took this very seriously. And I think that he wanted to do a good job. He might not have the tools to do a good job, and maybe he's freaking out about it. He did not come out well yesterday.
I think that is a nearly impossible stage, with the expectations were extremely high, especially Romo came in, and even though it didn't sound like any other analyst before, which is why people liked him so much, the expectations were not there for Tony Romo the way they are right now for Tom Brady.
Yes.
And you asked about preparation. I bet you he had notes on every guy, and I think it becomes paralysis by overanalysis.
Maybe.
And plus,
maybe
he had never worked with Kevin Burkhardt. So
they had dummy broadcasts, whatever.
But that's nowhere, no way is that going to get you, especially with the noise and the people all around. And then he's working with that production crew, and he's having people talk to him in his ear, and he's sitting there with a telestrator in front of him. Guys make this look so easy now because they've been doing it. Even guys that you don't think very highly of that have been doing this for years. Like somebody like, by the way, Charles Davis has done this for years. He's nondescript. The average person off the street is not like Charles Davis. Charles Davis makes it sound so easy because he's been doing it for 20 plus years. Tom Brady.
I thought he was great in the Bengals game yesterday.
Was he?
Yeah.
So Tom Brady, I guarantee you, will be 1,000 times better in game two.
I certainly
than
hope
he was,
so.
Because he'll know this. He'll immediately get rid of out of his mind so much stuff that he doesn't need for the broadcast.
He's coachable, and I think you're right about that. But I thought with his personality, he'd be able to. I wish there was a better term for it. Dumb it down for all of us, and be able to explain things and make things fun. And it wasn't fun. And my theory is that he's definitely, I think, a little bit overprepared on it. I don't think he was underprepared. And I think that he was a little unsure of what he could and could not say. I think that a lot of people around him have made a very big deal about it. Also, I don't know. I'm not going to sit there and blame the production. I don't know what type of director he has or anything. I can't imagine the director screaming or anything like that. Lima has experience with this. I have very little experience with this. I had one time I did a game. This is obviously years ago because I haven't done play-by-play in a long time. I had a game where the guy was very calm, and that was the second game I did. The first game, the guy was... I mean, some of these guys treat you like a dog. And he was screaming. And it was so jarring. It was so jarring. And I was like, you need to stop. You really need to stop this. I was in no position to tell this director any of this stuff, but I had to because I was like, I'm going to freak out. I'm not going to be able to do this. You have to be calmer.
You probably don't get to direct the game of the week by being a maniac.
Yes,
right.
That's true.
Right. These are the guys.
Of the week, Tom!
These guys are at the top of their game, and I wonder how nervous they were, because this is their world. But Tom Brady was going to be a story yesterday, and you will see when you watch everything today, when you consume. Although a lot of Browns fans probably won't want to, but if you consume a lot of national stuff, it's going to be Tom Brady front and center. And based on what I saw yesterday on social media, it's not going to go well for him over the next 24 hours.
I will say, though, it was a Fox crew. And Fox has rubbed me the wrong way over the last year. Because when Gerard and I go in there to do, like, game day, we go to the cardiac club when it's home. And we got shushed on our way in. And Lima, I'm not kidding you, we said nothing. We had said hello to each other. Like in the doorway, and that's it. We did not say a word.
Wait, who
is
doing the shushing?
I believe a director. And he shushed us. This is more of a fix my life, but I got to say it. I cannot tell you the rage that went through my eyes. And I looked down, and it was 8:40. And I go, if these guys are still having a meeting here, it is going to be over the top. And they were still having a meeting. And 9 o'clock came in, and they gave me the countdown, and it was, I'm going to bring the mic away because it was, from the Lakeshore at Cleveland Browns Stadium, we welcome you to week 9 of the... it was Vince McMahon welcoming people to WrestleMania, and I just stared at that guy as he glared at me when I did the open. It was as over the top as I possibly could make. I told Meredith, I go, I'm going to be as over the top as I possibly can. so you better make sure you have this right. I'm this mad at this guy.
I also,
we glared at each other.
No way, not you.
Yes.
That would have been great. I'm sure they were loving that.
We glared at each other while I did it.
I would love to know how much Michael Buffer got paid. We're nervous to even... Owen just looked at me. Don't say Michael Buffer. Don't say it.
I have a wife and kids. I need to feed family.
I don't even want to say it.
So, yeah, Michael Buffer did his signature call yesterday, and people could not believe it because you just don't see a lot of Michael Buffer these days. I know he's still
especially
done.
Not in the wild.
Yeah, and for him to be there for the Open. And before kickoff, I mean, they had people in a frenzy. MGK was down there. They had some kid on the guitar
the anthem.
Let me guess. Does he have a million TikTok followers?
The young man who does the guitar.
Was it Max something Maxton, or Mac?
Something. I forget his name. Okay, he's very good.
He was great. And then they had their Dog Pound captain. Was it the Black
the
Keys?
The Black Keys.
Yeah,
I always get them and the White Stripes mixed up.
Nope.
The Black Keys.
It's the Black Keys, the not Black the White Keys. Stripes.
They both
Stripes
have two people.
Married each other.
And then
they're divorced now.
They are. They said they were.
Oh, were. I'm sorry. I didn't hear the word part.
Okay, they also showed Bernie. The place absolutely lost it when they showed Bernie Kosar right before kickoff. Because remember, JW came on last week and told us there was going to be a rock theme?
Yeah.
Or something.
He said it would be rockin'.
Oh, rockin'. So it paid off. That place was in a frenzy. Even I think the Cowboy fans were like, you guys put on a show. So they've come a long way. I know nobody cares about that when they get their asses kicked. I get that. I just want to go out of my way to say, if you were in the stadium and people were there by kickoff, they had the Ohio State marching band come out for the start of that. So they put on the halftime show, too. It was a pretty good show, except for, you know, the football.
Missing G.E. Smith. They would have had it all.
Maybe that was the difference.
Well, the game kind of reminded me of the old Browns, so maybe G.E. Yeah. Smith would have been okay. Maybe that would have worked out okay. God, what a terrible day. Mike in Cleveland, make my day better. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to have you.
Hey, so I just want to point out, maybe it's just the Browns organization in general is just bad. I mean, from 99, if you look, the amount of starting quarterbacks, I think it's what, up to 36? I mean, that's a joke. You have an owner that is picking a quarterback. I don't know how true this is, but courtesy of a homeless man telling him who to pick, like, come on. And then giving this guy $265 million guaranteed, like guaranteed. That's terrible. Terrible. Like there has to be some accountability. What's your guys' thoughts?
I mean, you could say that on Thanksgiving. You could say that on Christmas. You could say that at any time. You are having, Mike, thank you for the call, an existential crisis that hopefully will be remedied by next week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, I mean, you're talking about an entire history of, for the most part, inept Browns football there. I don't want to go that far into it. But you know what, Mike? We'll figure out how they play against the Jacksonville Jaguars next week, and then maybe I'll agree with you wholeheartedly. Yes.
I'm watching. They just showed a replay of that Micah Parsons sack, and Deshaun Watson
is through three guys to get there.
Just not unloading the football. I'm just sitting here in my mind. I knew what was going to happen on the play. I remember the play vividly, and the receivers are looking at him, and it's like, just throw the football. Throw it. Throw it right here. Throw it. And he does it. And he does it. He clutches. That, Kenny, you talked about the mindset of a confident quarterback.
I did.
That is a guy you talk about, like, you know, the sensing, feeling, seeing, ghost thing. That is a case right there not being confident in your process.
Well, I have plenty of experience watching that. I've seen so many guys in that uniform play without confidence in that position. I mean, going back to what Mike had just said on the phone, I've seen so many of these guys play that position lacking confidence in themselves or anybody else they're playing with. And that's what scared me the most. Nobody, and also nobody was surprised by yesterday. Who was surprised? Who was surprised? I don't think anybody who had any closeness. I know what Ken Dorsey had said last week, and you immediately called it out. Goes, I don't know if he's really telling altogether. I think he's hoping instead of telling the truth here. Anybody who had any experience whatsoever, was any of you folks surprised? Anybody on hold? Anybody listening? Was anybody surprised? Nobody was surprised. Not a single person. I don't think Deshaun Watson was surprised. And that's my problem, is nobody was surprised by it. and he looks like he's searching for something that isn't even there anymore. Instead of possibly becoming the quarterback that we need him to be, is he going back to try to play a brand of football that he's no longer capable of playing? I don't know the answer to that yet. It's only been one game, but it don't look good.